Hi everyone, welcome to Founders Grid, sponsored by Gaper. Today we are with Victor, the Managing Director of Winning by Design. Hi Victor.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing really well, how about you?
Doing very, very well. I'm excited to chat with you this morning.
Thank you for being here. So can you tell our viewers a little bit about what you do over at Winning by Design?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So I am a managing director at Winning by Design. We are a sales consulting firm, headquartered in Silicon Valley, but with offices all around the world. We help primarily tech startups to figure out their go-to-market strategy. And build revenue engines that will allow them to hit their goals. So that includes things like helping them to figure out the right strategy, helping them to figure out the right messaging, the processes that their teams should follow, and then training their teams on how to execute those best practice processes. And we do this for marketing, sales, and customer success. So the entire revenue engine.
Okay, interesting. So could you tell us a bit more about your client demographic? Like who are your clients? What kind of companies are they?
Yeah, so like I said, for the most part, they are technology companies, although we do work with a good number of service companies as well and just traditional product companies. I think for the most part, they are, tech companies. So, very much focused on, technology and software, selling B2B. So selling, to other businesses that are buying that software to, help their people be able to better accomplish their goals. Yeah, so usually the companies that we worked with now at Winning by Design are a little bit more mature. So I would say they are, Series A and above companies. Throughout my career, I've had a lot of experience working with different types of companies, earlier stage companies, even down to solopreneurs.
Oh, okay. Just to get a better understanding of you're coming from, our viewers always enjoy knowing how directors and CEOs came about into the roles which they currently have. So how did you come about becoming the managing director of Winning by Design?
It was interesting. I started my career actually practicing law. So I was an
law
attorney. Yes, indeed. A lot of people are often surprised to hear that. I started off practicing law and ultimately decided that wasn't the right fit for me. And so I always knew I wanted to be kind of on the decision-making side of business. And so I made the leap to jump into business. And I think one of the few things I was qualified for with my legal career, if I didn't want to continue practicing, or at least one of the easiest opportunities to jump into the business world, was through sales. And I loved it. I still very much do. That unlimited experience selling gave me enough of a background that I was able to meet a successful entrepreneur who helped me found my first company. And so that was the first time that I'd ever had to build a sales organization from the ground up. So, prior to that, I was, like I said, practicing law or I was, selling as an individual seller. When I became an entrepreneur and I founded my first company, it was the first time I'd built a sales organization from the ground up. And I realized how hard it was. Even someone with my background in sales definitely made a lot of mistakes that I felt like if I had the right kind of sales coaching and advice that we would have avoided a lot of those mistakes. And so, you know, I kind of devoted my, unfortunately that startup didn't last, but I decided to start another one right after to help coach early stage founders and how to develop their sales strategy and you know, acquire their best customers. And so, yeah, that's what I started doing. And I did it for a few years. Obviously, there was a lot of demand for it. And long story short, I met Winning by Design and they acquired my firm here in New York.
Okay. So could you go a bit detail into, so I want to know, when or what made you decide, okay, yeah, I enjoy sales, but why don't I make this into a business? So going from selling something to selling the service of teaching it.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, no, it's a very good question. You know, I think it started off with, as it always should start off with, seeing a need. Right. And so, you know, my personality is one that, you know, I feel whenever I see a problem, I feel like I need, you know, and I connect emotionally to that problem. I feel like I need to solve it. And all so right. going through the experience of building my own company and building the sales strategy and, you know, hiring salespeople and all that taught me that it was really, really difficult to do so. And then I turned around and I looked, especially in the technology world, but certainly outside of technology, there were just a lot of founders out there who were either technical experts or subject matter experts, and they didn't really know how to sell their products. And, you know, it was clear to me that a lot of certainly technology businesses and even services businesses, they rarely fail because the people don't know how to do the work that they're proclaiming they know how to do. Right. Whether you're a technologist and, you know, writing code, you know, more often than not, you know, a startup that fails, not because of the skill or lack of skills or the inability to build a product. It's the ability to build something that they can sell on a regular basis enough to make it profitable. And so, yeah, so I saw a need in the market and I felt like, you know, it would be pretty easy to coach these entrepreneurs in a way that limited the amount of mistakes that they made when they were trying to sell their product. And as you might imagine, you know, if you take too long to sell anything and you're starting a company, your chances of failing are significantly higher, right? And so,
yeah,
I felt like I could have a real impact on early stage companies to avoid those mistakes. And, you know, as I continued with my work, I realized very quickly that this was a problem not faced only by early stage companies, but by companies of all sizes.
So with solopreneurs or entrepreneurs who really want to go forward with an idea they have, is having a sales mentor like a 1 month process engagement, or is this something which could stick around with them for years and see how their sales approach differs, how their products mature? So how does a sales mentor go with the timeline of a startup?
Yeah, I mean this is very difficult, but I think that if you are starting a company and you don't have sales experience, then you should partner with someone with that level of expertise as soon as possible. So whether it's people who are, you know, whether it's a co-founder who knows how to sell and can, you know, handle that while, you know, someone who's more focused on the business side of things focuses on the business, or you hire a sales coach. Because to me, you know, the sooner you have one, the better you are, the more likely you are to avoid mistakes. And that those mistakes can be costly. Right? You know, like I said a few minutes ago, the delay in acquiring your customers just makes it more likely that you're going to fail. And so, you know, extending that logic, the sooner that you have someone who's there to help you avoid failing by coaching and teaching you best practices, the less likely you are to suffer that negative fate. But I know that that's not really practical for everybody to be able to mm-hmm. find a sales coach or find a co-founder who has deep sales experience. And so what I often advise is getting sales training as soon as possible, because there are sales best practices. Okay. Yeah, there are best practices to this stuff, right? People seem to think that sales is like this magical skill that some people are born with and they just say magic words and
yeah.
persuade everyone of what they want them to do. But it's not like that. There's been a lot of research, science-based research, over what works for persuasion purposes, how to have successful conversations, and you know, decades of data on what good salespeople do versus average salespeople. And so, you know, you can maximize your chances of success by learning these best practices. So, yeah, I would say as early as possible for an entrepreneur to get a sales coach. If that's not possible, then they need to get as much sales training as they can as quickly as possible.
Interesting. Okay. So in your career as a sales coach, what is the number one mistake? If you could give us like this freebie, this advice, this number one mistake that entrepreneurs make everywhere, what would that be in you for experience?
Yeah. I mean, it's thinking that the product is going to sell itself. And I mean that in a variety of ways, right? So thinking that the product is going to sell itself, so I don't need to worry about sales in the early days. I just need to worry about building a product. And oftentimes that building of a product is done kind of in isolation without, you know, getting customer feedback. So that for obvious reasons can be problematic, because we, you know, more often than not, the first thing that you build for the market is not going to be right.
And yeah, it's not going to be for the market. Yeah, it's going to be for you with your ideas about how the customer will respond.
Exactly. So the first thing is thinking about engaging customers in the development of the product. So that's a pretty common mistake. And I would say the other big like sales related mistake or the other way that people think the product is going to sell itself is that, you know, that when they are in front of customers, the best thing for them to do is to speak about the product. So, you know, almost 100% of the time when I listen to inexperienced entrepreneurs and founders who are selling for the first time, they, you know, let's say they're in a 30-minute sales conversation, you know, 20, 25 minutes or so of the conversation is going to be spent pitching their product, right? Talking mm-hmm. about how great their product is, you know, all the logos of companies that they've worked with, or, you know, their experience and how it does this and that and this feature and that. And what that misses and what, you know, sales best practices and research makes evident is that you're not really tailoring what you're saying to the needs of the customer, and you're not really understanding the needs of the customer. And so you're spending time pitching to them maybe features or elements of your product that they may not need.
Yeah,
exactly. And the research is there's no question about this. Mm-hmm. You know, most research shows that the best salespeople are listening, you know, 60, 70% of the conversation, talking. But to accomplish it, they're asking really, really good and thoughtful questions about the customer's needs before they position themselves as a solution to those needs or those challenges. And so I would say that's the second big mistake that I see. The first one is, you know, not engaging customers mm-hmm. in the development and the building of the product and getting their feedback. And then the second one by far is thinking that the product will sell itself by pitching the product, spending most of their sales conversations with prospects, pitching the product as opposed to listening.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. So if I remember correctly, last 1 year we've been in, you know, on and off lockdowns, depending on which part of the world you're from. COVID-19 hit us really bad. I want to understand from a sales perspective, I feel like my understanding of sales is very, you go have a chat with someone in person. So if that in-person communication is no longer there, you can't really meet people, you got to stay 6 feet apart and all that. How has that affected sales in general, and how has that affected the work that you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's affected sales in a very significant way, and it will continue to affect sales for the foreseeable future. I don't think sales will ever be the same after COVID, and for exactly the same reason that you explained. I think for most people, most salespeople, there was a default assumption that face-to-face selling, particularly for larger ticket items, was necessary to developing trust and relationships with prospects. You know, I think COVID has challenged that because while, yes, there are a lot of organizations that have struggled with the lack of face-to-face engagement, you can see a lot that many that have thrived, right? You know, technology in particular is a sector that I think has thrived. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the companies that are handling it the best are the ones that are accepting the reality that, hey, the usual face-to-face stuff is not going to work anymore. And it's time to really invest in digital engagements, how to optimize digital engagements, you know, leveraging video more successfully during the sales process. So to start developing those to developing that trust and relationship between clients. I think to some extent, it forces us to go back to the basics as when you're communicating with clients, because you know, when you're face-to-face, it's easier to maintain somebody's attention than if you're digital and having a conversation over Zoom. And I think even more so in that context, you need to be listening more than talking, because, you know, it's very easy if you lose somebody's attention for them to start checking their email or something like that when you're when you're having a remote meeting with them. And so, yeah, I think, you know, COVID has forced organizations to really think about how to optimize the sales experience. Some of them have done it better than others, but I think the ones that have been most successful are the ones that have embraced this challenge and dove headfirst into figuring out ways to address some of the shortcomings of remote selling.
Interesting. Okay. Well, those were the questions I had. If you have any other advice or piece of information you'd like entrepreneurs who are hearing this to have, please, this is your stage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think I would go back to the advice that I started with at the beginning of the conversation. Get sales training as quickly as possible. Learn the best practices as quickly as possible. There are, you know, this is not magic. Sales isn't magic. It is a skill just like every other skill. And, you know, to the extent that it would be imprudent for one to become an entrepreneur without learning at least the basics of accounting and financial management. Yeah. I think, you know, learning the basics of sales is absolutely critical, because frankly, you can't even do the finance stuff without the sales coming in. And so that would be my number one advice. You know, at Winning by Design, we offer these public open courses monthly where we teach sales 101 best practices. Anyone interested can go to our website at winningbydesign.com and just look for open courses or training. And you should be able to see what we're offering there. But whether it's with Winning by Design or any of the countless other firms that are out there, even if it's just watching a bunch of videos on YouTube and really taking it in, I think by far my number one recommendation for all salespeople is to learn how to sell.
Perfect. Thank you for your time, Victor. We are so happy to have you here with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Have a great day.